Welcome to Mystery Bible. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. We have been looking at the Exodus. We are currently, last podcast, we focused on Jethro's reward for what he had done. And we started looking at Moses' trip to Mount Sinai. In Israel's history, if you will, this is a very important event. Not just Israel, also of the world. The Mount Sinai visit from God to Moses to institute some of the covenants, the principles by which he is now going to reprogram the children of Israel to worship him, to make them a peculiar people, the scripture says. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to switch from loading this on a Sunday to a Monday, because there's so much data that I find myself consuming that it is very difficult for me to make sure that I get this on time on a Sunday when I have the other podcast that I'm doing as well. And so I want to be able to be honest and truthful with the data that I have, and to pay and give it the attention that is required. And so that is why I want to switch this from Sunday posting to Mondays, so that we can learn from all the data. So that as I study it, I'm not rushed. I'm able to bring it to you so that you can then take it and hopefully study it, find out some deepness about it so that you can understand for yourself. Because the goal is that you will learn as well as I am. So that we can see our goal is here. I always say to you guys, so that we can learn who we are and become effective and change the world. The assignment is to change the world, and not to leave it in the state that it's in, because it is governed by corrupt programming, if you will, which the head of that program is the designer of that program. We know him as Lucifer, and he has designed that, and he infected man with this virus that is called sin, and God had to provide a way by which this virus can be nullified, and he did that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so we're watching this people that he picked. So God had, he is here in this, you know, God in the, you know, out there, if you want, he's out there. And so he had to come and pick a people and to show us a blueprint, if you will, of what he wants in heaven. So the Israelite story is the natural presentation, if you will, of a spiritual truth that God is trying to make known to mankind, so we can see for ourselves what his plan is for us, to take this wicked group of people and transform them into his sons, and empower them to be who they truly are. And we see this example in the children of Israel. And God makes some statements about the children of Israel that we need to understand, because that is our programming. It's not just them. It is our programming. So first, let's start, because this trip with heading into the Mount Sinai, we're going to have to stay here for a little while. And I want to be straight up with you guys. We can't rush this, because there's so much stuff that comes out of there. The priesthood, the tabernacle, all the different things that govern the state of Israel even to this day. And so we need to understand some of those things and why they're doing what they're doing, so that when we look into the state of Israel and we see certain things, we could recognize the origin story, if you will, of that situation. So we're going to start, okay, with this Mount Sinai trip. But before that, the prelude to that, we have to go and see what God had decided, said about the children of Israel, even though he knew he's heading in and calling Moses to this appointment, because that was the appointment why God sent him there. That was Moses' assignment. It was Moses, Aaron's assignment to go to Pharaoh and to bring the children of Israel out to deliver them, if you will. And I'm trying to make this aware to you, the listener. The most important thing that you need to find out in your life on this planet is not about your job. The first assignment that you have to do is to find out who you are with your God. The scripture says, Jesus said to him, his disciples, what is the most important commandment out there? Because these guys are getting commandments, right? It's to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy might, and with all thy strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. That is the blueprint by which you and I are going to be governing our life. So the first thing is for you to get to know your God. And as you get to know your God, you're going to get to know you. Because he says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. No way in the world can you do it. Because if you hate yourself, you're going to hate your neighbor. And that's what we are watching in the world. It's a world governed by hatred. Why? Because that is the laws that are being governed by the programmer of this earth, the kingdom of darkness. His program is fearfulness, hatred, rebellion. All of those things are his program. And Jesus' program, his virus cleaner, if you will, has love and all of these things that infiltrate, that it is our responsibility to bring that virus cleaner, the Word of God, into our corrupt computer, our soul, to have it clean out this virus so that we can become children of God. So God is going to pick this group of people called the Israelites, and he is now going to take them out of sin, out of bondage, just like us, and he is going to show us the road by which he is going to take us to this promised land that is called heaven, the eternal line. So let's take a look at chapter 19 before we branch into the Mount Sinai visit itself, the location. And chapter 19 is surmised as this: the Lord's covenant to make Israel a peculiar, treasured, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The people sanctify themselves. The Lord appear on Mount Sinai amidst fire, smoke, and earthquake. So all of those are important as well. So let's take a look at 19, because as it says, God's covenant, he began to pull this people to himself. Now he's going to explain to them what's his plan about them. He says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, that the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. That's their appointed place. Now, you and I have to learn who God is. And the second most important thing as we start loving ourselves, because I didn't forget, is and loving our neighbors, is to find out your assignment. Now, the program in the kingdom of darkness does not tell you about your assignment. All they tell you within the program of the kingdom of darkness is that you must get a job. But many of us have gotten our jobs, and we are not and never will be satisfied because we weren't called to do a job. We were called to fulfill an assignment. We know that Abraham has his assignment. Adam had his assignment. If you look, Jesus had his assignment. The Holy Spirit have his assignment. Paul and Barnabas have their assignment. The disciples have their assignment. The disciples were at a job. They were fishing. That was their job. They were entrepreneurs. They owned that company. And Jesus said to them, I don't want you to do a job. I want you to follow me so that you can do your assignment. And so it is very important that you guys find out what your assignment is, because that is the only place and time that you will enjoy happiness and joy. Outside of your assignment, you're just working. You're just a worker bee, and you're controlled by those that are in the kingdom of darkness. But when you're doing your assignment, you're not controlled by them. You are guided by God himself, because he knows what your assignment is. And he says, I will lead you. I will direct your path. Where? In your assignment. So find out your assignment. So now we're looking back at 19:1, and it says that the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai, for they were departed from Rephobim and were come to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness and the Israel camp before Mount. So we know where they're located, right? It says, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. I want you to give them this stuff. Here is what he has said. You have seen what I did unto Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wing and brought you into myself, or unto myself. So God is now bringing his people unto himself. And that's what happens when one who becomes born again. He's bringing us unto himself. So why? Unto himself, because he's trying to convert us to become sons of God. And when he's bringing us to himself through salvation, because he said to them, this day I have become your salvation, when they were standing in the Red Sea. You remember that stuff? So it's the same thing. So we must be born again. And the children of Israel going through the Red Sea represented them becoming born again, going through from darkness into the light. But we will see their character even though they were saved. And that's the problem with us. So now let's take a look and see what God says. He says, I brought you guys up on wings, on eagle's wings, and I brought you unto myself. Unto myself, he is in as a earthly representation, Mount Sinai, because he told Moses, I'm waiting here. I'm bringing you to myself, to me. We have an appointment to discuss some stuff. So he tells us that he's bringing them unto himself. Verse 5, it says, now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So now we see God is now telling the children of Israel this contract that he wants to have with them. Now therefore, if you obey, that's the first thing, if you obey my voice, right? Obedience, and keep my commandments. So one can, can say that you listen to God, but if you don't keep his commandments, the scripture says faith without works is dead, and keeping his commandments is a representation of keeping his word, keeping his work. So you're working with the word of God. So now he's now laying it out, as I said. You have to obey my voice, number one, and you have to keep my commandments. After you do that, or keep my covenant, after you do that, it says, then you shall be a peculiar treasure. Because, of course, now when you have people in the kingdom of darkness, and they're moving and thinking, and their old programming is in place, and they're cussing, yelling, all the different things that a child of the kingdom of darkness does, you know, stealing, fornication, all of the other things that are within that program, that's different from what he wants. He said, you are going to be, if you follow me, my voice, and my covenant, because my covenant is a different type of programming, you're going to be peculiar. You're going to look different. You're going to be a peculiar treasure unto him, number one, above all the people. So you're going, God is going to recognize you, and people are going to recognize you, because the Bible says that the earth is God's. And that's why I tell you guys, I'm not afraid of Lucifer or whatever. Lucifer doesn't own anything, basically, because all he is roaming around the earth. Because remember, Matthew tells us that Jesus said, I took from him all authorities under the heavens and the earth. And now because I have all these authorities, you go in and preach the gospel and so forth. And so he got no power on anything. God took it back from him through Jesus Christ. And now he's trying to disseminate it into your life and my life so that we can be Jesus's, if you will, like Jesus, all over the world, laying hands on the sick, casting out demons and all those different things. What are we doing? We're becoming this peculiar people. We're becoming the sons of God. So he said, if we would obey his voice and follow his covenant, we are going to be a peculiar people unto him. And he says, verse 6, and you shall be unto me a kingdom. That's what the Bible tells us. It says that when we are born again, God translated us from one kingdom into another kingdom of God's dear son. So in this kingdom, it says that we are going to, and when Jesus, disciples ask Jesus Christ to pray, he says, thy kingdom come. So we know that God is dealing with kingdom principles, but the church is dealing with members and member stuff, and that's why they got no power. That's why when Jesus walked around, it says in the Bible that he preached the kingdom of God, and he was walking around with power. And I guarantee you, all of these powerful, naturally looking 5,000, 10,000 churches that have a lot of members, I guarantee you nobody's getting saved or healed up in there, because there is no power, bro. Straight up. So, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Now, what does a priest do? A priest handles all of the spiritual stuff. So we are sons of God. We are priests and kings, the scripture says. So as a priest, I am able to handle those spiritual things just like you. If you're a priest, you're able to handle those spiritual things. God can trust you to handle spiritual things so that you can bring certain blessings and certain different things delivered to the people. And that's what we are called to be when Jesus said, going into the world and preach the gospel of the kingdom of God and make disciples. So as priests, I have the ability, as I'm doing my assignment, right, to get all these things done as God has destined from before the foundation of the earth. So he's saying to you and I that we're going to become priests. The Bible tells us that this is going to happen to us in Revelation and so forth. And we will be called a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came down and called for the elders of the people and laid before them their face and all these words which the Lord commanded him. So he just went and regurgitated what God had told him to tell about these people. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. You know how it is. We all get close to that mountaintop, and we have that mountaintop experience. As he said, we're going to be obedient to God. But there's a cost, because he said, you have to listen to me, and you have to be obedient. And they said, we'll do it. But what they should have said is, like, we're going to listen to God, and we shall follow his instructions. And Moses returned the words unto the people, returned the words of the people unto the Lord. So he went back to God. He says, hey, as you see, he is the mediator between God and the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto you in this thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. He's trying to say, I don't want these people to come back and that, you know, murmuring, if you will. And he wants them to know that he has direct contact with God himself. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That's the God that they know, the Israelites know. And when this God is speaking to Moses, they should know that this is Elohim. This is Jehovah. This is God. And so he wants that to make sure that it's plain and they understand and have no problem. Getting what I'm talking about? What he's trying to do with them? To solidify who Moses is in their eyes so that they can recognize, don't come against this man. And the Lord told Moses of the words of the people, and Moses told the words, of the people unto the Lord, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon the Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed of yourself that you not, that you go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whoever touches the mount shall be put to death. You have to listen to God's words, his command, and do what he's saying. Why? Because he's trying to protect them. Because if they touch that, the glory that is there will take them out. So he's trying to protect them. I know you guys may think it's harsh, but he's just saying, don't touch this, because you can't be around that type of power, that type of glory, and you will die. There shall no hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it best beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounded long, they shall come up to the mount. So God is warning these folks, don't touch this stuff, because this is beginning to be something serious. And Moses went down from the mountain unto the people and sacrificed to the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Stay away from your women. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunder and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. So somebody was blowing that trumpet. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at neither part of the mountain. Isn't this interesting? That these guys were given an opportunity to sit with God, as did Adam. So sitting with God doesn't prevent us from falling, if you will. Choices. The choices that we make. God gave Adam and Eve a choice. If you touch this and you give them some insight, some warning, and everyone says, you know, that he's... Me, I personally looked at that as God giving them some additional information. This tree, be careful about it. And so they had that intent, that knowledge already. Even though they had that knowledge, the enemy was still able to deceive them. And so we may have knowledge of God, but we can still be deceived by the enemy. So we have to learn how to try to stay close to God and stay humble before him and walk not in the flesh, but in the spirit. And so we are seeing this preparation, and the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people that they break through, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. So apparently, when he was going up there, a bunch of them were getting a little nosy. And so God notices that, and he says, get back down there. These people didn't get the first message that we told them. Don't move, don't come near this place, or you're going to die. And see how we are? And that's the natural realm, and that's you and me, man. You know, we are born again, but we still make mistakes. But God is still working with us because he knows how wretched we are, but he's cool with it. So don't panic, man. And he said, and let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth unto them too. He says, you know, speak to them religious boys. You know how we are with those religious boys. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mountain and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get you down, and you shall come up, you and Aaron with you, but let not the priest nor the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth unto them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. So we see that this back and forth going on here, and all was not well. And God is having a conversation with him, saying, these people are crazy, go talk to them. Because God has some specific stuff that he wants to deal with him, because he's bringing this man to get the virus cleaner, if you will. And this virus cleaner is going to, number one, show us that we have a virus. If you have a virus cleaner and you're going to put it into your system, your computer, that means that you have a virus. And once you begin to clean up the virus and try to protect yourself from the virus, that is what the Word of God is capable of doing. We have a virus, and that virus is called sin. And that sin is slowing down our computer. It is causing glitches, if you will. It's causing glitches with our relationship with God the Father, where we don't have access to Him and the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ. And so because it's created these glitches, God, the designer of this computer, had to provide a way by which he is now going to make this computer right so that he can have access back to this computer. But before, he has to put this virus cleaner in there. And so if you reject the virus cleaner, you can't be arguing with God who provided the virus cleaner. You got to be arguing with you who rejected the virus cleaner. And that virus cleaner is the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us there's no other name under the heavens by which man can be saved. That means every man. I don't care what religion you are. That is a man-made system. And God says that you can't get to me by any of your systems. You can only get to me by my system that I put in place. And what is God's system? That system that God has put in place for man to have access to him is called faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. You must believe that he is God and he is a rewarder to those who are going to diligently seek him. You can't get to him any other way by your rosary beads, your chanting, nothing. He is the designer. He can tell us, and he has, how to input the virus into the computer, clean the computer. You can't argue with them. You have to either do it or don't, and that's okay. You choose to live a life with the glitches, or you have a life where you are going to be able to put that virus cleaner. And the thing about, if you do not choose to have the virus cleaner in you, when your glitches come, your computer cannot get clean. It's just going to get more corrupt. Now, when you are born again and you input that virus cleaner and you see some glitches happening because we walked away from the principles, you can run that, do a deeper clean, if you will, to extract that hidden virus that is there. And the Bible tells us that Psalmist says, you know, help me to overcome the sin that easily besets me, the one that causes me to fall all the time. Help me, Lord God, you know. So that's what this is all about. And so this mountain visit is an introduction to slave mentality. The mindset of the children of Israel are that of slaves. They're not of sonship. So God has to begin to reprogram them. He gives now, he has an appointment with Moses to begin to lay down some of the basic tenets by which you are now going to design the program, the virus cleaner, to begin to clean the heart and the soul of mankind. And God spake all these words saying, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. So Egypt represents, is titled, the house of bondage. And so when I look at the children of Israel, the children in the kingdom of darkness, I see the scripture calls them disobedient children. And they are, because of their disobedience, they are in the house of bondage. And what did Jesus said in Isaiah 61? That he came to set those that are in bondage free, those that are in Egypt, those that are captive, he came for them. And so we are supposed to be the little Jesuses running around, going into the house of bondage and bringing them rescue. But we are not there yet, many of us. I am the Lord, the God, your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall not know, have no other God before me. I am the God of God. You don't worship nobody except for me. You shall not make unto you any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. Now, verse 4 tells us that anyone worshiping anything that has anything like that is under a false religion. Period. No excuses. I don't care what you got. I just don't care. If it tells us right there. I mean, it's not wisdom. Just look. thou shalt have no other gods before me, or no other idol, you know, none of that stuff. He said, none of it. Don't have anything, any gods, any idol before me, anything. And then he begins to describe what it looks like in his mind. Thou shalt not make on you any graven image. I don't understand how these people are worshiping something they make. I can't do that. I can't give my allegiance to something that I made with my hands. I don't get it, but that's a different story. Or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven and above, or in the earth beneath, anything in heaven, anything, I don't care what it is, anything on the earth and heaven, or anything under the water, the earth, or anything, no fish, no monster, none of that. Anybody's worshiping any of that is under a false religion, not serving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're serving another God. Thou shalt not bow down yourself to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third, fourth generation of them that hate me. I've been saying to you guys before, God judges you according to how you treat other people and so forth. So he's using you and your character against you, just like he uses the character of the Lucifer against him to get his work done. And so that's how God works. And so because of our behavior, our generational curse goes into effect. And so that's what trauma goes into, generational differences. And so when one becomes born again, we have to deal with that aspect also because of our forefathers and so forth. So we have to deal with these things as we begin to carve a new path, as we walk into the kingdom of darkness, and showing mercy upon thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So there's a group of them. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God thereof in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that take his name in vain. And you know who you are, guys. Yeah, God said he's not going to do it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That Sabbath day, you know, there's all kinds of stuff, but the Word of God says, remember the Sabbath day. He's having now this conversation with Moses to reprogram his people because he wants to do certain things with them. 6 days you shall labor and doing all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it you shall not do any work, you, your sons, nor your daughters, your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor the stranger that is within your gates. So he's laying down the law, if you will, and we call it the law, as to how he's going to program these people and reprogram them for a reason. For the sixth day the Lord made heaven and the earth and the sea and on them and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and it is holy. So he's saying, follow me. And it's very important because he rested, right? He rested because it's important for us to rest. And most of us, what we do is go out and party Friday and Saturday, and, you know, the Sabbath day, and then we lay out with migraine and all the other things, recuperating. And what he had set up for the body was that day the body would rest, so get his strength, the soul of the man would be replenished, so that when he works those 6 days, he will be able to handle it. Honor thy father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land. Now, this is you always hear people say, this is the first promise, or first law that came with a blessing. It says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God giveth you. And then he begins to call out the ones that all you guys know about, thou shalt not kill. Now, Why? Because if you love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy might, and then love your neighbor as yourself, you're not going to kill the man, are you? Why? Because you wouldn't kill yourself. So the key is loving the self. You shall not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. We all know. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against your neighbors, because we know a bunch of those. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his maidservant, nor his manservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is in your neighbor's. He's trying to tell him, he says, you guys got to get your stuff together. Because in the land of Egypt, the Egyptians had tons of wives, tons of this, they had everything. So they were partying as, you know, they're walking the field, the Egyptians, and they see your woman that's there, and they want her, it's gone, it's finished. So he is trying to reprogram them that all this lifestyle, how it is back then, that's not how it's going to be. I'm going to make you a peculiar people and a different looking one. And all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and all the noise of the trumpet and the mountain and smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood far off. Of course, they got a little wisdom, especially when things began to shape up. And they said unto Moses, speak you with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. So, that's a beautiful nugget. And Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before you, your face, that you sin not. See that virus. God wants us not to allow the virus to rule our lives, to rule, take control of our mindset. And so he is now trying to bring some stuff to help deprogram us from that mindset of sin and what it entails. And the people stood afar off, and Moses drew near unto the thick darkness where God was. And the Lord said unto Moses, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, you have seen that I've talked with you from heaven, and you shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall you make unto you gods of gold. So he's telling them initially before, don't make any gods, and then he's telling them about the material that you're going to make gods with. And this is very funny, because these people are so ignorant that we'll see that when Moses is up there, these dumb people are going to make a god with gold. And that's what I'm saying. We, the children of Israel, are us, guys. The covenant, the command that he says, you got to hear and do, you know, obey and do. And that is still it, man. And we see that these people are corrupt, and so are we. And why are we corrupt? Because they are a flesh, just like you and I, and our flesh is corrupt. The soul of the man is corrupt, but when one becomes born again, the Bible says, behold, he's a new creature. That man's soul is still corrupt, his body is corrupt, but his spirit God gives him a new spirit, because he is the God of all spirits. And so that spirit now is the conduit by which we can reconnect from God. And so our responsibility as Christians is to take this word of God that he has put into this love letter, we call it the Bible. And again, the Bible is history, there's all kinds of stuff within the Bible, but also within the Bible is God's principles, his covenants, and so forth. But he took this people, this group of people, to teach us. And so when we're looking at the Bible, we're seeing their history, we're seeing their manners and customs, we're seeing all of these different things. And slavery and all those things at the time was customs and manners of people. And God didn't interrupt with any of that stuff. He just talked. What was he focusing on? The behavior and the heart of the individual. Even the slave and the slave owners, their hearts he was talking to. And because if you love your neighbor as yourself, even if he's a slave and a manservant in your house, you're going to treat that manservant like you treat yourself. Do you understand the word of God? That's why God is never troubled by all this stuff, because he's trying to program us about your heart. You got to love yourself, and after you love yourself, you're going to love your neighbor just like you, and you'll be able to treat your slave your manservant, your maidservant, with honor and respect, because you're loving yourself. Are you getting this, guys? So he's telling them, don't make now with the material and the altar of the earth that thou make unto me, and shall sacrifice therein your burnt offering and your peace offering, your sheep and your oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto you and I will bless you. So God is saying, he wants to maintain that sacrifice of burnt offering and stuff like that is like our life. It's our will, our humbleness. We are broken before God, and he is looking to him as our source. And so the Bible tells us that we all must, the posture that we must maintain as one walking on this planet is that of humble, and always have our ears tilted towards God's voice through his word. As we look into the Bible and extract within the history of Israel and its manners and customs are hidden treasures there of God's principles and power that he wants to show us as this natural people he's working with, that he's also doing the same type work with a spiritual people to bring them to that promised land that is called heaven. So he's telling us, don't have any gods other than me. Don't make them of these materials. He says, if you're going to worship me, you want to have this relationship with me, your sacrifice of prayers. He said, as you do that, I will bless you. And if you will make me an altar of stone, you shall not build it of hewn stone. For if you lift up your tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. So God wants your real stuff, the unvarnished you, the sinful you, the one that is a mess. He said, I don't want you to clean it up. I want you to make an altar messed up as you are, just as you are. You come, and I will come and sup with you. Neither shall you go up by steps unto mere altar, that thou nakedness be not discovered thereupon. That is, we read chapter 19 and verse 20 of Exodus, wanting to bring to you the preclude as to the reasons why God was doing everything he was doing, as he's now taking this man up into the mount to have a conversation on Sinai with him in Mount Sinai, and the reasoning behind it. Because as we see, through our conversation just now, that there was a lot that precluded that appointment that they were going, because God is really anxious to get them there, because he wanted to tell the children of Israel first, why did I bring you out? Because I want you to become a peculiar people and a holy nation and so forth. And he relayed that information to them. And they made a covenant with him. Yeah, we're going to follow you. We're going to do what you said. And so Moses now is dealing with God. He's talking intermediate. And God is now going to pull him aside and open up some different things. When we look at the book of Jubilees, beginning of the book of Jubilees, also a book, they call it Jubilees, this little Genesis. This is where he receives the tabernacle. It tells us in the construct of the, what the chapter is about. It says, Moses received the tablet of the law and instructions on past and future history, which is to inscribe in a book. There are several books, as I mentioned, that in the chronicles of Christendom and the world that is out there. Sefer Yetzirah is also a powerful book that is ascribed to Moses writing that book. That is something to read and get some insight into that piece of material. I read it and it is something else. So I want to thank you guys. Okay, we're going to leave here. And I want to thank you for really your patience in hanging out with me. There's been a little rough patches that I had, sickness. I know my computer was having, and still is from time to time, will give me a little glitch and stuff like that. So I'm actually working is going to have to buy a new one, so I'm working on getting that finances together for that. And so I switched over to Mondays because, again, a lot of data I'm reading so much, and I want to be able to bring as much as I can and present it at your feet that you can take that information. And hopefully my goal is that it will change you, cause you to go and study more and find out more information to see for yourself. Because all I'm doing is just reading and interjecting some of the principles that I've known from my relationship with God, from studying His Word and other books, the I Ching I've studied so many different written stuff out there, because it's good stuff to know, the Vedas, reading all of those different things. But all of that still points to God, the Supreme Being, most of them call it. That Supreme Being is our Father, and He came through this group of people to show us what He wants to do naturally so that we could see it. But that is in reference to spiritual stuff. He wants to take us to the promised land through salvation, through all these things, through walking, all of these things that we do as we become born again. It's the same thing that He did with the children of Israel, had to convince them of this and convince them of that. That is why the scripture says the plan of God was that from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith. We were supposed to walk with Him as Adam did. He would come with God in the cool of the day so that God can have a conversation about Him, so He can grow His faith from faith to faith. Every faith project He has, He began more and more, became more and more confident in His relationship with God. And we would get to a place that Abraham got, where it says he became fully persuaded that God was able to keep His word. And when he did that, the Bible says God accredited that to him as righteousness. So that's what it is. I want to thank you all for coming and sticking with me here at Mystery Bible. Thank you, thank you, thank you, all of you that are supporting me. Thank you very much. And I will continue as usual, pray for you and your family, that God will show His mighty hand in your life. And for those that are not born again, get born again, guys, because I said this once before, that we are coming up to the last Jubilees, which is the Jubilees is broken down into 50 years. 2025 is the last Jubilee, which means that the end of the age is 2075, which means subtract 7 from that, 2068. That means the Antichrist is here, and that means all hell is breaking loose, and that means that the church had left already and raptured, and stuff was going to become, the Antichrist is going to show up 3.5 years. He's going to break that covenant. He's going to bring peace with Israel and Arab nations and so forth. And then he's going to walk into the temple that they build, and the Israelites are building that right now. The heifer, the red heifer, is up already. They're getting all the things ready for him. So when he shows up in the middle of that, he's going to walk in and say, "I am God. I shut down every religion. You worship me. And if you don't worship me, I will take you out." And the Bible says that the remaining 3.5 years, hell on earth, all kinds of stuff. You don't want to be here for that, because the Bible tells us that the world has never seen anything like what's coming. I don't want to be there. I don't want you to be there either. So thank you for coming again and following us here at Mystery Bible. I ask that you guys just help us grow, share the site so that people come and learn and grow with us here at Mystery Bible. And as I said, and I always say, so that we're here to learn so that we can become effective and change this world.